This is David Hausman, and I'm here on May 26, 2010, in Kigali, Rwanda, with Mr. Tito Rutaremara, the Chief Ombudsman of Rwanda and the former Secretary General of the RPF. Mr. Rutaremara, have you agreed to be recorded for this interview?
Yes, I have.
Great, thanks so much. I wanted to start by just asking you a bit about your background and the positions that brought you to this point.
Well, my background as what? Starting from when I was young? Or
well, just maybe briefly, starting from the beginning of your career, maybe briefly.
Well, I was born here in Rwanda in 1944. Then I did a part of primary and a part of secondary school in Rwanda. Afterwards, I was a refugee in Uganda, where I did the secondary and the university. Then afterwards, I went to France, where I did master's degree and a PhD in urban and rural planning. But before I was doing geography, then I did a PhD in urban and rural planning. When I came back, I stayed in France working, and I came back in 87. It's when I was asked to be to chair a task force, which was supposed to review RANU. RANU is the former
Rwandese Association of National Unity.
Yes, but then to review RANU, where from 87, where I was with. That's why I think Protas Mutono told you, because I was chairing. He was in that task force. We study how we can do it and so on until December after Christmas in 87, when we had the Congress of RANU, and then we changed RANU to RPF. In fact, that's when I became the Secretary General of RPF. After we organized the RPF, the structures of RPF, structures and even the youth organization and women organizations, until we started the war in 1990, I remember, in 1990, where we changed the name of Secretary General. It became the coordinator of RPF activities during the war, so it became coordinator of RPF activities. It is the name which changed. I stayed there until 1993 December. It's when he came in the same day. But at that time, I was no longer the Secretary General, because I was supposed to be in the Parliament. 1994, after genocide, I was in the Parliament, heading the RPF group, until 2000. 2000, I was asked to chair the Constitutional Commission, which was supposed to prepare the constitution, which we prepared until 2003, and after that, 2003, in November, it's when I became the chief of Muslim. Till now, I'm in the second mandate, and afterwards I don't know where I'll be.
Great, thanks so much. Let me start by asking you about some of what you did when you first returned to Ranu in 1987. You mentioned the task force that you were on with Prote Musoni, that you chaired with Prote Musoni, excuse me. Can you describe more of what that task force was tasked with?
We had, Ranu was rather a group of young intellectual people, and we were discussing how to make it dynamic and to make it a mass movement. Then it's what we were asked. Then what we did, and Ranu was always depending upon volunteers who were doing other jobs. They were proposing that there should be people who sacrifice themselves and make that work of mobilization be permanent on the work without doing any other job. Then it's why we, and we were, of course, we was asked to review everything, the structures, to review their ideology, to review the organization, to propose how we can make it dynamic and it goes to all people and in all countries, because before Ranu was only in Uganda and Kenya, and some individuals like I was in Europe, but it was not between, it was the debate between young intellectual people. Then there we were asked to do it. How we did it, we first took young people who are coming from universities. We started teaching them. Because if we want to become a political cadre, you have to get tools of analysis. And we were giving them a political education. Political education, which is teaching them, giving them what is the politics, the definition of democracy, and the tools of analysis of analyzing things, teach them history of Rwanda, methodology of mobilization, and the other things, and so many other things. And we are giving them a bit of introduction to philosophy, introduction to politics, introduction to economics, and so on. And the history of Rwanda, especially. And the leadership code, giving them the leadership code. Then when you are doing those, we would take a group of young intellectuals coming straight from school, because it was very gender to take someone who is already working and tell him to volunteer and be permanent. It would be very hard. That's why we are targeting young people coming straight from school. Then we would give them 1 month or 2 months of political education. After that, we would send them to camps or countries everywhere, telling them to go and mobilize. When he come back, we were making again a workshop to discuss what did you see, how did you find it, when you read, so on. And we would send other groups, and they would come and make discussions until, and we sat down. By doing that, teaching those young ones and creating the political cadres who were supposed to go out and mobilize the youth, the everything, building the structures. We went on even changing the documents of Ranu in such a way that we got what we well, according the date point program.
Sorry, the
the political program, our political program. We wrote a political program having 8 points. Political program, but the political program which had three characteristics. First, to be a program that has to assemble so many people, whether you are a Catholic, a Protestant, a bourgeois, or someone having a man unemployed, Hutu and Tutsi, and so on, they say. But you are only the one who was not taken is the one who was working for the interest of the foreigners. For instance, if he says I'm working for the interest of France or Belgium or anything, the ones we call the revolutionary jargon comprador. A comprador, someone who is who wants to work for the interest of other people, not of yours. Because we had seen that the problem of ours was not because people were politicized, it was because people were not politicized. Then we had to politicize them, teach them what democracy is and so on, and their history and even the problems which they have. Why are we here? Why is Rwanda like this and so on?
And was this strategy of recruiting new graduates something that arose out of that task force? Was that something you decided on later, or were you doing it all along while you were also
we were
on the
doing
task
it
force?
When we were during the task force and recruiting those young ones and so on. But it became then we wrote the program, political program, which has got 8 points. One is the unit of the country, building a democracy, economy based on our own means, fighting corruption, welfare of the people, and so on. The 8 program, but it, which has got a characteristic of assembling people, inclusiveness. And another one, which idea that they should be simple. When it's, no one can reject being a unit of the country. Anyone who says he's a thing, unit of the country, and no one will obviously reject in an open saying that we don't want democracy. We don't want we want to be corrupted. You see, those are things which all people understand, and the people are not ready to reject openly. And so it has that characteristics, and again another characteristic being simple, that if you give it to someone, he takes it anywhere without changing it. Then that was the three characteristics of our political program.
And
be inclusivity, being universal, doctor. No one is ready to refuse it. Because if, for instance, you say, I want socialism, someone will they say, no, don't for me, I want communism, I want capitalism. But if you say, I want unity with the country, no one will dare to say, no, we don't want unity with the country. But if you say, I want democracy, no one in the world openly will refuse democracy. No one will refuse to fight corruption and so on. That is the way we have those ideas to be universal. You don't give any chance to people to refuse it openly.
And when you were recruiting these new graduates, about how many did you recruit and how did you go about finding them?
Well, we were not finding them because we didn't have money. We were not asking them to volunteer, you are not really trying to get some food for them, and you are telling them, we are even using their Bible, saying, remember when Jesus was sending people, he told them, go and teach. those whom we were teaching, if you are doing your work properly, they will be feeding you. That's what you were telling them when they would go around and be fed by the people that they were teaching. And anyway, they would come and we make, we are not looking for some money to make the workshop work and so on.
And about how many were there?
Well, it went on. It was a prolonged movement. It went on moving. We started, I remember we started with about 20, but afterwards there were so many. It went on moving and moving, and even being decentralized. We started in Uganda, but in Kampala, but afterwards in other areas where Rwandese were found, it then went in Kenya, then in Burundi. You see, it started, but it went on prolonged, extending.
And how
then you wanted to ask another question?
I was going to ask how you came up with the way of organizing that you used. Was there a model that you had?
Well, we had read many models, but trying to the, for instance, the idea of having political cadres sacrificing, you know, that without doing any other job, it became from the problem that we were having, because RANU was having suffering that problem. But again, we brought it from the small booklet written by Lenin, What to Do. What to Do. Because where he was proposing, if we want to succeed in Russia, there should be people who become like professionals. That's it. But of course, there are so many other people who had written about it. If we read Amilcar Cabral from Cape Verde, he wrote about it. So many. Amilcar Cabral. That idea. But other things you had read so many books and so many works of people here and there.
And the idea of establishing cells in each country, sometimes more than one, where did that idea come from?
No, you see, the organization, it is an ancient organization in any case, in that one. You find it even in the churches, you find it everywhere. that's the thing which is we find in each, it is in common. It is not so revolutionary. Something to simple, you find even in the churches. You know, the churches have got those cells. And something really.
And the use of elected executive committees in each cell?
Well, the thing which we created, which we created in each cell, because we are having a cell, then a branch, and a region. The structure was a cell, a branch, many cells together make a branch. Many branches together made a region. The thing which we did was we were always having two bodies in a cell or a branch or any other. We were always having the executive committee, the council. But the most important we were putting always there was the one dealing with the security and the which was dealing with the inspection, with the money or security or anything like that one. And it was the most important. We were always having three. Because this, we did it especially on money, because we had seen that most of the movements of the world had problems on money embezzlement. It's why when you are always electing, the first part we were electing, the biggest was always directing the inspectorate, having the best who are the inspectorate, second the executive, and then the council. Those three bodies were asked on each level of RPF. But the most important is the inspectorate, because we didn't want, we had seen that in many movements, the Revolutionary movements and the other movements, the problem was based on being of money and it goes on.
And can you say how the inspectorate worked?
They were the one dealing with the security of the people, the one inspecting whether the money they get right, and it is, are they going to the right place, and the one dealing with the discipline of the people. Seeing the discipline of the people.
And was there an inspectorate at every level, or was it a central
thing? On each and every level. And they were elected by the people. They were the first being elected, before you elect the others.
Great. Well, let me move forward now to the time when you and the RPF... Or, go ahead.
And then... another thing which we had, the political program we made even in the operational guideline. The operational guideline is what you can call the statute, but it was making it flexible so that it allows if you are in Europe, you do it in your own way, because there is a power independence. But if you are working in Rwanda where there is no independence, where there, you make sure that you are organizing yourself another way. Then it was flexible. Our operational guideline was flexible. You are doing it according to the area in which you are. For instance, if you are in Rwanda, you are not having the branches. We'd have the cell and the region. What was dangerous to pass there and go to direct to branch. It was depending upon the area in which country you are. So why you are. The characteristic of that, the operational guideline was, for instance, that to be flexible. Second, to come, when you come from one to another one, like that one, to depending each area, depending on the other one. Unless you find that in a country where there is much insecurity, where we are not supposed to know each other, then they would do. It's why we are saying that it is flexible. For instance, in Rwanda, a cell would work direct with the region without passing through the branches, because we didn't want to put there so many structures where there was security. And the security, security services of Rwanda were very strong. And it would be depending upon the country in which. Then we again prepared what we call the code of conduct of our members, code of conduct, which was emphasizing rather self-criticism and what we call autocriticism and constructive criticism. We are encouraging people to have the constructive criticism and the autocriticism in that code of conduct. We presented those. Prepared how we could now organize the youth organizations, creating the organizations and the women organizations and the other cells. Then in 1987, it's when we, to the Congress, it's when we presented those things to the Congress, and they passed. And we started working.
So these things were a result of the task force?
Yes, the task force. We started working, and constructing cells here and there, and having political schools here, decentralizing the political schools, and the creation of political cadres would be helping the struggle, the organization of women, the organization of youth, and the construction of the cells and so on. Until when you started the war.
Great. So let me now move forward and ask you about the time when the RPF actually began to administer territory. So let me ask you either about the administration of the demilitarized zone or about the administration of territory that was captured in 1994. What were the particular kinds of governance challenges that you faced after assuming control of territory?
Well, we usually didn't have many challenges. The first thing which we, the first problem which the challenges we got first was how to feed those people and give them health, cleanliness. Because you see, we didn't have, we could not have enough food to feed our military men and feed even the population which was there. Then we found that there were people who are not, could not have drugs for all military men who were in the war and have even for the population. Then it's why we concentrated on making these people work on their fields and making these people be clean. Cleanliness in their houses, in their bodies. When you were asking them how many times they were washing themselves, checking whether they are washing their houses, things that they were eating with, because we didn't have money to to spend.
And how did you go about enforcing that?
Where do you start by checking, telling them? We found so many had jiggers. You don't know what the jiggers are. No, it is the kind of which come in the feet. It's a small insect which goes in the feet, enters and grows inside those jiggers. We had to bring our political cadres, remove them out, and look for medicine and those things were coming from because people were walking barefooted and were not clean, were not washing themselves each and every day. At first, we had to force to tell them to do it. But after some time, after 1 month, people were used.
In the same
someone who becomes the clean here, it's only you force for the first time at the end, they are the ones to do it.
And was the same thing true for cultivating fields?
Yes, the cultivation field, you've got everything. Of course, organizing them to cultivate areas where so on, and bringing armies to defend them, in case, and choosing the right crops and for them, and because we didn't want them to have. And afterwards, that one, it's only the starting, afterwards it was.
And did you establish?
We established even some schools for the children, and schools for children. Mm.
Did you establish any kind of governance structures at the time?
Where we were, the government was, they were depending upon RPF, but the type of sales that we are having today, they would direct their people in sales. Then on the district level, electing their people.
And this was in the demilitarized zone?
In the demilitarized zone and even in our zone.
And the elections that took place at cell and district level, were these committees, the committees that had existed in Rwanda already, or were they modeled on RPF committees?
No, the ones which we have today. The ones no, we did it in our way.
It wasn't because I know that there were committees.
They were not exactly the same because they were emphasizing even that the councils and the executive and the inspectorate, those things which we are having, they were not existing in Rwanda. We were having the same, the ones which we were having with our people outside and in our political organization, whether inside Rwanda or anywhere, those are the ones we were doing it with. Though we were making them not on the political side, but on administratively.
And how did you go about setting those up, those committees?
Well, you see, it's only we were telling people elect yourselves, and we first taught them what it is that they have to organize themselves. And we went around sensitizing them how to organize themselves, what is the good of organizing themselves, the good of electing their own people who represent them. Well, those people were the ones to directly talk to RPF if they have any problem, if they want to go, for instance, out in Uganda to buy things and so on, to get papers, movement papers, go to the zone of war and so on. Then it's why we are organizing them in such a way that they, in their cells, they elect their representatives. Will be asking for anything that they want. For instance, if they need a school, they have to get a representative to come out. If they get, they need to papers to move from that country to another one, do the, because their activities would be going on. They are very good.
And anyways. Was there any resistance to this among the population?
No, the idea, the resistance wasn't there because we started by sensitizing, mobilizing, discussing with these people, then telling them to do it afterwards. Well, our political cadres, what they were doing, the mobilization. First, having so many meetings, discussing with the people, visiting people, telling them and so on. Because we didn't want to get... We didn't want to have a problem of the population if we were at war. That was the work of the mobilizers of our political cadres, to go around, teach them, be with them all the time, listen to their problems and so on, solving them, trying to solve them with them and so on and so forth.
About how long did it take to establish committees?
Well, it was depending upon the area. When you were taking an area, we would straight start. any part you were talking, when you were... First of all, you were to put the population together in order to remove them from the front where the war was. Then after you started to... start sensitizing those people, you know. Going about their work, cleanliness, then start even sensitizing them how they should be. And then our political cadres would even start teaching them politics and so on, and what democracy, why the role of democracy, why they should elect people who represent them, what are they supposed to do, and so on. And why should they be together? It was a work of sensitizing, because of course you could not go and tell them do this and this. You need time to... You have to get time, to give the time to our political cadre to go around and sensitize the population. But at first, of course, because there were few. but from those ones who were already organizing and they politicized, we even created other political cadres will be helping in other areas. Because they were putting there the political school and even bringing the those people, and they will be the ones to even using to organize the others. It was the work which was going on with the play. When you are taking an area, the political cadres would start doing the work. Then I can't tell you when, when, how much, and so on. Because it was the work of the war, the politicization of the people, the organization of people, the sensitization of, was going with the war. To even towards the work which you are doing more seriously than the war. And they would even come in and get in some who wanted to be in the army, to come in the army and fight. And those who wanted to become, we get the political cadres, they would become the political cadres. And those who wanted to go on teaching in school, they would stay in schools and teach. That's how we were organizing. Then, as we were moving to the work we were doing.
So, for example, in the demilitarized zone, do you remember about how long it took to establish this?
In the military zone, we had the time to even to mobilize for elections because they were both the government and the US were put there. Now the Minister of Minister Kamanzi of Environment, I remember the one who was elected as a prefect of the is of PSD. Was the one who was elected as the prefect of the militarized zone. Now the thing is, it took us I can't tell you it took us how long because we went on sensitizing the people. The work of sensitizing of politicization is a work which goes on. You can't say this I have finished. You go on teaching because teaching, you have to teach it and every time. But when we started already in the demilitarized zone, we had already been infiltrating people already. But after that one, we started because you see, we were more organized than the government. When such our political cadres knew their work, they straight went to there. Why the government, they didn't have that type of political cadres and so on, who are ready to go and do that work. That it was easier, but if for them they were even allowed to go there. They were already, for them they were depending on, I remember they were doing two things. One was to come for a big meeting, the ones of the government. The second, which they were doing, was to come during the night, going to try to infiltrate and saying things which they can't say and are open, saying those are the Tutsis who are coming to massacre you and those are behind. But for us, the political cadres were everywhere, even their feet, to show them how they make. A political cadre was he has to know everything, to go around, even teach them how to go in the field, to mobilize them to have their water tanks working if they find that there is something which is not working within their system of water. We would call our technician to come and help. If they didn't have how to take their goods, for instance, to Kigali, we tell them, please, bring they will go to lorries over the our army, you take them to Uganda to sell them. They were helping in so many things. It was not only for sensitizing on political side, it was even on each and every life. Someone who is sick, very sick, if he doesn't know how to go around, he would bring in our health people to come and help them, and our doctors to come and do something. And if he can't go to Kigali, we'd even take him to Kabale and Kampala or to Nairobi. That's why what you are. It is a work of everyday political cadre. It's not only to teach politics, is looking at each and every life. Then we were even recruiting young people to come to our political schools, which were behind in our area. They would become our political cadres, come inside and work with others. Young people wanted to join the army, they would come and go for training to go back. And so those are the things that we are doing.
Let me now ask you about your role after the full-scale war broke out in April 1994, and which parts of the country you were in, and how this process of establishing governance structures worked during that time.
You see, there is a time it went even quicker. You see, at first it was slowly having a part and have time to mobilize. But there is a time the Rwandese army was running away. Then the area would be big and so on. And having, during that time we had so many other problems. Because we had the problems of now having many people who have been massacred, then having people where to go and put them and bury them, because in each and every village you are finding people. And having people who are injured, we had to take around to doctors and so on. We had the orphans, widows, people who are around and fearing inter how many we might be having. Now mobilize them in one area so that we can give them the security, and with that security looking for food for them and so on. So those are the first things that we are doing. For now, political cadres came to do more of those instead of systemizing. Systemizing came after. Because we were doing the most urgent thing was to bury people, to take the injured ones to the doctors, to look for the young people and create orphanages where they can put them, and look for political cadres to go on doing that work of taking those orphans, taking other, creating camps where to put these people in order to have their security, looking for food for them and so on. You see, after that, really, we had many more problems. Then politicizing came afterwards, you see. Because you had the urgent activities, you understand, after genocide, everywhere where you were fighting. And now even fighting remnants of the in Terahamwe who are hiding somewhere and so on.
And so after that initial stage of emergency where the political cadres were helping with all of these urgent practical things.
Yes, the political cadres and the army men who are not fighting.
So after that initial stage, which lasted about how long, would you say?
Well, it was depending upon the area. The one which was liberated before to do.
So can you
But it continued until even when the French people went from the zone, we went there to do the same work. But of course, we went to do that work until even we put there the government. Because it was the area, we put there the government in place where the one part of the country was again occupied by French people. When they went to doing the same work, but now there was the government, at least the government now dealing with the things which the other governments do. And working, but he went on doing the same work, now being having even a government helping, organizing and so on. Not only RPF, but even the government organizing over, you know, government over political parties that were there, because he formed the government of unity, where made of so many political parties. And
do you remember the timeline for some of the specific areas? So, for example, in Kibungo or Ruwengeri, how long it took for this practical phase to be finished and for the election of committees to begin?
Well, that press conference was in Kibungo. In Kibungo, it was even Musoni, who was now prefect there. Because the Kibungo was liberated before, by October it was already finished, I think, by October in Kibungo. But in the other area they were still doing shutter things.
In which area were you in?
By that time I was supposed to be in Ruhengeri, but the RPF had given me the job of forming a human rights commission and study the impact of genocide, and they gave the report, the impact of genocide. The genocide impact that it has to our people, the impact that it will have to on RPF, and the consequences, and look for the solutions. We are the ones even who proposed to use the Kachacha.
And how long were you in Ruwengeri before you started that?
No, in Ruwengeri, I didn't go there.
You didn't go there at all?
Yeah, no. I was supposed to be a prefect of Ruwengeri, but then they straight gave me that work of doing it. Instead, I went all around in Ruwengeri, I didn't go there. The one who was my second, Kagiraneza, is the one who remained in Ruwengeri.
Sorry, for me, I did who that was work. That?
Kagiraneza.
How do you spell that?
Kagiraneza. Kagiraneza. Then is the one who remained, he was the deputy to myself, but because I was given that work, I went to do that work, to go around and know the causes and how the impact, how this genocide, how they were, it was being prepared, the medicine that they were using, the effect it will be on RPF and so on, and how we can solve that problem. That's the work I was given, and doing other work of diplomacy, going very well.
Let me go back and see if I can ask you in a little bit more detail again about the process of first dealing with practical issues in territory that you took over, and then politicizing and having cells elect representatives.
Thank you. Well, you see, that part, the real part, the chaos which we found in Rwanda, it took us time. It took us time. But it was depending upon the area where we were. And it was upon even the people who were there to organize themselves, you see. Because it's really in some areas it became quick. In other areas it took time. And it was even depending upon the impact of genocide that happened there. And the destruction of the things that happened in that area. Because if take a town like which was under the French people, Changugu, which is in the border of Zaire. No house was all houses were being destroyed. If I wanted to give an example like that. While in the other area, like Nikigari, there were houses which were there. Then it was easy to put people in those houses. But an area where there are no houses, what to do? You understand? It was the problems were not equal in each and every time, in each and every corner. It was depending upon them. Now to look for shelters for those people, it would take long in an area where there is nothing. But in an area where there are houses, you bring people and put them, go in this house, occupy it. If the owner comes, you will go out. And so then you do other work. For instance, here in Kigali, very few houses had been destroyed. It was very easy to go and you go. Don't have where to be. Be there. Two families in this, two families in that one. And then we start doing the most urgent one. That show you it would be depending upon areas where things were being destroyed.
So, for example, in Kigali, when did the politicization start? And were there cell committees elected in the same way?
You see, in Kigali, because of after the war, all people came in, it was very easy because you had the concentration of political cadres, even ministers and others would come during the evening and do the work of mobilization. It is not the same as there. There it started early. But starting early, it went on because all other people were coming afterwards. You see, people coming from other areas coming to Kigali. Whether it started early, but finishing the Kigali was the last to be finished. Because all people were coming from many areas, refugees coming from other parts of the world and so on, coming back to Kigali. Though Kigali was having the many political cadres, but they were having the most. It is an area where the movement, people were moving towards Kigali, or the people were moving towards Kigali. And these, especially the victims of genocide, they didn't want to remain in the rural areas, but they were fearing to remain in the rural areas. Then you see, they were all moving towards Kigali. Then it's an area where you started long time to sensitize, but it is an area where you went on sensitizing even after the other areas. Those sensitization and personalization has to go on even today, it is still going on.
So, for example, in Kigali, when did the sensitization start about? Do you remember what month?
No, we even when you were in, because you were before we were in a same day, we had started sensitizing people even. Before the genocide, we went on sensitizing. The work of sensitization is the work which goes on continuously. In the area where we were reaching, even the military men, after fighting, those who hadn't, would sit, come back, put his gun on his shoulder, and start sensitizing, and call for political cadres to come. But you would have found that the military man had already gathered them, had been started teaching them, looked for food and everything, and the political cadres would come in and help. Hello?
Oh, yes, okay. That won't keep you too much longer. This is the second part of our interview with Mr. Rutarmo. So I wanted to ask specifically about the election of cell committees or Niyabozi, and when that took place in Kigali, and also whether that took place across the country or only in some areas.
Well, wherever we were, we were doing it, you know, because we wanted people to come out and organize themselves. Because organizing people is very hard. But when you we are always needing people to sit down and elect themselves, people who will be organizing themselves. But you would be helping them with advice and so on. Then you are doing it everywhere. But we were doing it in a way that there were ideas from RPF. But these ideas, we had to bring them to to the government and discuss so that it can become of the over the government of Rwanda. That one was not in the government. I don't remember when they were discussed and they put it in being a policy of the government. But I remember they were discussed. In any case, we put them in the constitution in 2003 constitution because I was there. But we had been doing it. But I remember we were doing it as RPF, but afterwards we even discussed it with other political parties. But I can't tell you exactly which, because I was not a member of the cabinet. can't tell you exactly when.
No, that's fine. And I'm mostly interested in this early period, in mostly in 1994 and maybe early 1995, when this was happening informally as an RPF way of allowing people to organize themselves.
Yes, we were. You see, wherever you were, we are always allowed. That was our first time. Of course, to give them the main way to be secured and so on, then let them organize themselves. Otherwise, we could not succeed. If you don't, and by organizing themselves, even looking for other young people could come to our political school so that they come and be the political cadres everywhere. That work of bringing young people to political school and making them the political cadres and the way of recruiting for the army, young people to go in the army and come and fight. It went on as we were going on. And we were also letting people organize themselves before they were to organize themselves for their security. You could not have the military man everywhere. Then in order to organize themselves for their security, they had to elect their committees. They had to organize themselves for to start the schooling, the schools and of the children and so on. And having the committees to look for teachers. Those are things that the people had to do for themselves.
And how did you organize, for example, local elections and make committees realize which tasks needed to be done?
Well, the local elections were being done in each and wherever we were doing it and telling them, bringing people together, sensitize them and tell them to elect. But the real local elections on national level, when were they? So I think it was in after 96, I think, on national level. But otherwise, they were being wherever it was taken, they would make them understand.
So, how would the election actually work? Would there be just a meeting in the cell where people would come and raise their hand and vote? Or how, in this early phase, before the formal election?
It was
elections?
Depending on area. In the rural area, they were putting up their hands if they vote for that one. But in the area, like in the town in Kigali, they were being electing, writing down.
And in
some other areas, there were even someone standing there campaigning afterwards. Those who want him would stand behind him or putting up their hands. And those ones, it was depending upon an area. But the areas like Kigali, Butare, and so on, they would organize elections and they write it down and vote for those people.
And it became
on a national level and given by the government. But now, because our system was always something which is flexible, it's how RPF worked. It was pragmatic and flexible. Then doing the work that is possible in that area. If you think this is possible, you do it. Possible, quick, and accepted by people, you do it. But if you find that you are among intellectuals in Kigali, it is possible, but not acceptable, no, do the one which they accept. But I remember other elections on national level doing the same thing that was done by the government. But But at first in the RPF we were pragmatic and flexible. That's what we are doing.
You mentioned that the local committees organized themselves for the security and looked for teachers for schools. Were tasks like that handed down from the leadership of the RPF, or did they come from the people in the local areas, or both?
But you see, when we were doing that, we know there were prefect in the areas. Then after they put there, even in the community, they put there the burgomasters. But local area, they elected their own and so on. But of course, reporting to the burgomasters and the prefect.
When were the prefects and burgomasters
Wherever wherever were liberating, they would put their prefect and the burgomaster.
Immediately?
Immediately, to coordinate all those people. The first one, the first burgomasters and the prefect were not elected. They were only elected after when it became over the government. But local councils were being elected. They were telling people to elect themselves and so on.
And did most of the population participate in those elections?
In an area where they were.
If you could go back and do this again, is there anything you would do differently?
What? Go back and
if you had a chance to do some of these things again, if you were in the position to
do
this over.
In another country, because this country is very, very different.
Yes, of course.
In another country,
if you were giving advice to someone.
I think it is the work which you were doing, which was flexible. I think wherever it'd be flexible, letting people. Giving them people an orientation and giving them a presence and the help, sensitizing people, teaching them why they should do that, and letting people do, but letting them people choose their own methods of doing it. I will always do it. Yes. It worked for us and it was very quick. It was helping us a lot. It helped us a lot. Anyway, it helped because before we had applied it from 87 up to 90, we had been applying it with the people, RPF members and so on. It is something that we had been doing it. And then we knew where mistakes were, where we should do anything and so on. Why we should let people choose their own people.
What were some of the mistakes that you corrected?
Well, we went on, for instance, the mistakes of some people. Sometimes people were tending to propose someone that they should be chosen by people, especially higher levels. Those are the mistakes that we were correcting, saying, no, let the people choose their own. Whom they want, and the other mistakes was taking someone from somewhere and saying go and present yourself in this area. I was saying no, unless those people are the ones who look for someone else, but don't take anyone. Let them choose among themselves those who are capable. Small mistakes which we were correcting was, of course, sometimes when we let people, there is a time they become overzealous doing it, telling them, please go slowly, so slowly. And the other mistakes was people had it, the tendencies of seeing someone who has a was done wrong to chase him straight, not giving him a chance to correct himself. Those are the mistakes that they were waiting, please. Let it go slow, let him correct himself and so on, give him time. And if he goes on a pause, you erect another one, but don't chase him from the movement. Because the RPF has never chased anyone from the movement. People go and come back.
Let me ask you just one last question. You mentioned that flexibility was very important. What are some examples of different ways that this process was accomplished?
For instance, if you take our members in Europe, because they were allowed to go in one area and form their series and they talk in an open, they were doing it. Because they were in the area where they were not going to put them in prison. But if you take someone here in Rwanda, for instance, they are flexible to make a cell of... There in Europe, you could make a cell of 1,000 or 200 or anything. But here in Rwanda, they could never go beyond 5 because there was dangerous to have many. And now a cell of 5 work directly instead of working on... with the branch which was organizing so many cells, work directly with the region and with the center. Those are the flexibilities. Toward the same in Zaire and in Burundi, where the cells were small. But in Uganda, in an area in Kampala, cells were small because of the system of intelligence of Uganda. But in cells in the camps, where only Rwandans, there could be big ones. I remember in the cells in Kampala, they were using cells of, or in Burundi or in Congo, cells where there were people drinking together. After work, association of people coming to drink together, they drink together, but after they talk politics and organize themselves. Those are the flexibility. According to what? The possibility. For instance, in Burundi, I remember in order to, the Burundi was allowing the solidarity while encouraging youth to make during the holiday the solidarity camps to which young people would go around helping needy people. Ours would, they took that chance to go around and help people, but by helping people organizing themselves, the youth, our youth organizations. In Tanzania, for instance, in Tanzania, they had what they were calling Sungusu, where they were having this working system of together, solidarity, with, where people were working together. And one is, they were not preventing people to come together and work together and so on. Many people were profiting for this and do it. We were making according to the area in which we were. In an area where it is free, it become free.
And then later on in 1994, what were some of the differences in the way it was applied in different areas in Rwanda?
Well, in 1994, we were no longer fearing anything. And then you started creating cells. You could even create them during the day and have meetings anyway. Because there was a freedom at that time. And so even teaching and opening the market anywhere. There, then the structures were the same.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks.